Upon the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down, saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Put yourself in place of one of Jesus' disciples Easter Sunday. So, he's already been in the tomb. You're finishing up Passover. You're thinking about the travel back home. When all of a sudden you start hearing reports that the tomb is empty. You go to the tomb. You peer inside. You see the empty tomb. What does this mean? Pope Benedict, in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, Holy Week, asked just that question. What does the resurrection mean? It is something the early church had to wrap their mind around. What does it mean to be raised from the dead? We even heard the disciples who went to see the tomb. They didn't understand that yet either. Now, throughout the Gospels, we have several stories of Jesus resuscitating people. We had the story of the widow of Nain, whose son Jesus brought back from the dead. We had the story of Jairus, the synagogue official, whose daughter was brought back by Jesus. And of course, the most famous story, that of Lazarus, Jesus' good friend, who, even though he knew he was going to bring him back from the dead, he still wept outside of his tomb. If all that happened to Jesus was he was resuscitated, then the resurrection doesn't mean anything. Especially it doesn't mean anything to us. So the resurrection of Jesus is something different. The Pope wrote, "Jesus' resurrection was about breaking out into an entirely new form of life, into a life that is no longer subject to the law of dying and becoming, a life that opens up a new dimension of human existence." We have to remember who Jesus was. On the one hand, he was the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, through whom all creation was made. There has never been a moment in time where he has not been. He coexists with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But the person of Jesus, we can point to a specific time when he was born of Mary. We can point to a specific time where the Son of God was now wedded to a human body. Jesus is both human and divine, is what we believe. And so when we talk about the resurrection, we are talking about bringing the pinnacle of God's creation, humanity, into God's presence. In Jesus, humanity is now able, through his resurrection, to enter into the community of the Trinity. The love that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A love so close, a community so tight, that we can also refer to it as one God. Jesus has now brought his human body into that community, which means we now are allowed to enter that community as well. And the fact that his body was raised is an important part of this resurrection. And we know, as we read some of the resurrection accounts, as people encounter Jesus, people who have walked with him, ate with him, followed him, they didn't recognize him. The two disciples walked some 7 miles to Emmaus with Jesus and didn't know who he was. Mary Magdalene, later that Easter morning, is grieving in the garden, and she sees this man. And she thinks he's the gardener. And goes up to him and says, "Sir, where have they taken the Lord's body?" It's only when Jesus says her name that now she recognizes him. And so his body is not just resuscitated, his body is now glorified. As the Pope wrote, "His presence is entirely physical, yet he's not bound by physical laws. By the laws of space and time, he is the same embodied man, but he's also a new man, having entered upon a different manner of existence. The man Jesus, complete with his body, now belongs totally to the sphere of the divine and the eternal." This is an important moment in human history. This is an important moment for all humanity. God has now welcomed back his estranged sons and daughters. God has now offered them the gift of eternal life because of what Jesus did by giving up his life on the cross. The Pope goes on to write, "Christ's transformed body is also the place where we enter into communion with God and with one another, and are thus able to live definitively in the fullness of this indestructible life. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ because of his resurrection. We are not just a community, we are in communion with one another." We describe that as being members of the body of Christ, the church. You can't be any closer than being a part of a body. So it doesn't just impact our relationship with God, but it also impacts our relationship with one another. Christ's greatest wish for us all was that we would be one. In his priestly prayer, right before the Last Supper, he says, "Father, make them one as I am one with you and you are one with me." Through his resurrection, we now have entered into the communion of the body of Christ, the church. And so we celebrate all through this Easter season, reflecting upon what the resurrection means, not just for me, but for all of us And not just for even Christians, but for the whole human family. And so let me close with these final words from Pope Benedict. If we attend to the witnesses with listening hearts and open ourselves to the signs by which the Lord again and again authenticates both them and himself, then we know that he is truly risen. He is alive. Let us entrust ourselves to him, knowing that we are on the right path.